This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How chronic illness reshapes your emotional self-awareness. When your body changes the rules, your inner map has to change too. In short, chronic illness does not just tax the body, it quietly dismantles the internal signal system. You've relied on your whole life to understand what you're feeling. Rebuilding emotional self-awareness after illness means learning a new language for your inner experience, not just recovering the old one. Your body's signals for emotion and for illness overlap, making feelings harder to read accurately. The emotional baseline you built over decades no longer applies when your physical reality changes fundamentally. Rebuilding self-awareness is possible, but it requires different tools than the ones that worked before. Definition: emotional self-awareness is the capacity to notice, name, and understand your own emotional states as they arise. It involves reading your internal signals accurately enough to know what you feel, why you feel it, and how that feeling is likely to shape your words and actions. Most people assume that self-awareness is a fixed skill. You either have it or you build it, and once it is solid, it stays. I believed that myself for a long time. Then I started watching people go through serious illness, and I noticed something that no one around them seemed to name clearly. They would describe feeling lost inside themselves. Not depressed exactly. Not confused. Just disconnected from the inner life they had always known. Their emotional self-awareness, something they had cultivated over years, seemed to dissolve. And the harder they tried to grasp it, the further it slipped. This is not weakness. It is biology meeting biography, and the collision is more disorienting than most people expect. Understanding why it happens and what it means for how you communicate and connect is what this article is for. When the body becomes unreliable, so does the inner map. Your emotional self-awareness has always depended on your body, not in a vague, philosophical way, in a direct, mechanical way. You feel a tightening in your chest and you know you're anxious. You feel a heaviness behind your eyes and you know grief is present. You feel a rush of warmth and you recognize it as affection or pride. These are learned translations. Over decades, your nervous system built a reliable dictionary between physical sensation and emotional meaning. Chronic illness tears that dictionary apart. Pain, fatigue, inflammation, and the side effects of medication all produce physical sensations that use the same channels as your emotional signals. The tightening in your chest might be anxiety, or it might be a symptom. The heaviness might be grief, or it might be the specific exhaustion that comes at the end of a bad pain day. You genuinely cannot tell. This is not a failure of insight. It is a signal interference problem. I have sat with people who described reaching inside for information about how they were feeling and finding static. They knew something was happening emotionally, but they could not resolve the signal clearly enough to name it. That experience is not rare among people with serious or long-term illness. It is, in my observation, almost universal. The baseline that no longer fits. Here is what makes this particularly hard. Your emotional self-awareness was not built in a vacuum. It was calibrated against a body that behaved in a certain way. A healthy day had a particular texture. A tired day had a different one. You knew the difference, and you used that difference to interpret your inner life accurately. Chronic illness shifts the baseline. What used to be an unusually difficult day is now a moderately manageable one. What used to signal genuine distress now signals a fairly ordinary week. Your reference points, the ones you used to locate yourself emotionally, have moved. And because they moved gradually in many cases, you may not have noticed the shift until you found yourself reacting to situations in ways that surprised even you. This is the mechanism that most people miss. They focus on the obvious emotional consequences of illness: fear, grief, frustration. Those are real and they deserve attention. But underneath those reactions is a deeper disruption. The calibration system itself is off. You are reading your emotions against a map that no longer matches the territory for your communication. This matters enormously. When you cannot trust your inner readings, you lose the foundation that confident, grounded conversation is built on. You stop trusting your own signals, so you either over-explain or shut down. Neither serves you. What distorted self-awareness looks like in practice. Let me give you a picture of how this plays out in ordinary moments, because the theory means nothing without it. A woman I knew, a capable and direct communicator for most of her adult life, found herself in a conversation with her manager about a project deadline. She snapped, not harshly, but sharply enough that both of them noticed. Later she said to me, I thought I was annoyed about the deadline, but sitting with it afterward, I think I was terrified. I just couldn't reach the fear in time. What came out instead was irritation. That is emotional self-awareness disrupted by illness in real time. The feeling was there. The accurate label was not. And because she reached for the nearest available response, she communicated something she did not intend. This kind of misfiring happens in close relationships too. A person withdraws from a partner, convinced they need space, when what they actually need is connection, but cannot tolerate the vulnerability of asking for it. Or someone insists they are fine, repeatedly, not as a lie, but because the signal that says I'm not fine is buried under so much physical noise that they genuinely cannot hear it clearly. Understanding what sits beneath reactive moments like these is something I also cover in the context of how defensive reactions form under pressure, and the same principle applies here. The surface response rarely tells you the whole story. Why this goes unrecognized for so long? There are a few reasons people do not identify this disruption for what it is. First, illness already comes with a ready-made emotional narrative. You are sick, so of course you are struggling emotionally. That explanation is true but incomplete. It masks the more specific problem, which is not just that you're feeling difficult emotions, but that your ability to accurately read those emotions has itself been compromised. Second, the people around someone with chronic illness are focused on the visible. They track symptoms, appointments, physical changes. The inner erosion of self-awareness is invisible, and the person experiencing it often cannot articulate what is happening because the tool they would normally use to articulate inner experience, their emotional self-awareness, is the very thing that is impaired. Third, there is a cultural pressure around illness to perform competence, to demonstrate that you are coping. That pressure makes people less likely to say, I do not know what I'm feeling, and it frightens me. Instead, they pick an emotion that seems appropriate to the situation and present that. It is not dishonest. It is adaptive. But over time, it deepens the disconnection. This pattern connects directly to something I have observed in teams as well. When people cannot read their own emotional state, the reactions become unpredictable to others. Amygdala hijack situations in group settings often have this same route. The person reacting strongly cannot see clearly what is actually driving them. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Rebuilding emotional self-awareness on new ground. Rebuilding is the right word, not recovering, which implies a return to what was. Rebuilding, which acknowledges that the foundation has changed and the structure needs to be constructed differently. The first practical move is to slow the identification process down. Before illness, you could read your emotional state in real time or close to it. That speed may no longer be available. Build in that pause. Not a therapeutic pause with long journal entries, though those can help. Just a small deliberate gap before you respond in difficult moments. A single breath. 5 seconds. Enough time to ask yourself, what is the physical sensation I am noticing right now? And is it pointing toward an emotion or toward a symptom? The second move is to widen your emotional vocabulary. Most people operate with a narrow set of emotional labels: angry, sad, anxious, happy. When your signals are noisy, coarse labels are not precise enough. Practice reaching for finer distinctions. Not just angry, but embarrassed or cornered or grieving a loss of control. The more granular your vocabulary, the better your chance of landing on something accurate even when the signal is faint. The third move is to track patterns across time rather than in single moments. A journal, a simple daily rating system, even a few words in a phone note, can show you patterns that you cannot see in the moment. You may not be able to tell in the middle of a difficult conversation whether you are anxious or exhausted, but if you look back over a week, the pattern often becomes readable. This is a tool I recommend to anyone whose emotional signal system is under strain, not just those dealing with illness. The confidence competence loop depends on accurate self-assessment. You cannot build competence if you cannot read your own starting point. Building this kind of self-monitoring also has a direct benefit in your relationships with others. When you can say to someone, I think what I'm feeling is closer to grief than anger, and I'm sorry if what came out sounded like anger, you restore connection. That repair is only possible if you did the internal work first. It is also worth noting that teams build stronger collective awareness when individuals bring this kind of honest self-reading to their shared conversations. The individual skill feeds the collective one. The identity question underneath the awareness question. There is one more layer worth naming. Chronic illness does not just disrupt your emotional signal system. It asks a harder question: who are you now? Given that your body, your capacities, and your daily experience have fundamentally changed. Self-awareness is not just about reading individual emotions. It is about knowing yourself as a person with consistent patterns, values, and ways of moving through the world. When illness disrupts those patterns, the self-concept that supported your self-awareness becomes unstable. You cannot locate yourself as precisely as you could before, because the landmarks have shifted. This is not a reason for despair. It is a reason for honest, patient attention. People who navigate this well are not the ones who pretend nothing has changed. They're the ones who allow themselves to build a new, accurate picture of who they are now, what they can offer, how they respond under pressure, and what they genuinely need. That picture takes time to form, but it is the foundation that everything else, including how you show up in difficult conversations at work, is built on. The willingness to do that rebuilding, without rushing it, and without forcing yourself back into a self-concept that no longer fits, is itself an act of strength. Finding your footing again. Emotional self-awareness, disrupted by chronic illness, is not gone. It is dislocated. And dislocation, unlike destruction, can be addressed with the right tools and enough honest attention. Start with patience for the slowest signal. Give yourself the pause before labeling what you feel. Build a richer vocabulary for inner experience. Track your emotional patterns over days rather than moments. And when you get it wrong, when you express irritation instead of fear or withdrawal instead of need, treat the repair as part of the practice, not as evidence of failure. Understanding how to make difficult conversations less overwhelming begins with this kind of internal honesty. This much I know for certain: the people who rebuild their emotional self-awareness after illness do not do it by working harder at the same methods that stopped working. They do it by learning to read a changed landscape with genuinely new eyes. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-awareness? Emotional self-awareness is the ability to notice, name, and understand your own emotional states as they arise. It means recognizing what you feel, why you feel it, and how that emotion is likely to influence your behavior and your communication with others. How does chronic illness affect emotional self-awareness? Chronic illness disrupts the body signals you've always used to read your emotional state. Fatigue, pain, and medication can all mimic or mask emotions, making it harder to distinguish physical sensations from genuine feelings. The result is a slower, less reliable inner signal system. Why do people with chronic illness struggle to name what they feel? When the body is under sustained physical stress, the nervous system is already processing a heavy load. Emotional signals compete with pain signals, fatigue, and discomfort. This crowding effect means emotional information arrives blurred, delayed, or attached to physical sensations that make it hard to label accurately. Can emotional self-awareness be rebuilt after chronic illness changes it? Yes, but it requires a different approach than before. You need to build a new emotional baseline that accounts for your changed body. Slowing down, using a richer emotional vocabulary, and tracking patterns over days rather than moments are all practical tools for rebuilding that clarity. How does poor emotional self-awareness affect communication during illness? When you cannot clearly read your own emotional state, you communicate reactively. You may snap when you are actually frightened, withdraw when you are overwhelmed, or push people away when you most need connection. Rebuilding self-awareness is the first step toward communicating with intention again. What is the difference between emotional self-awareness and emotional expression? Emotional self-awareness is internal. It is the act of recognizing and understanding what you feel. Emotional expression is external. It is what you choose to show or say. You can have strong awareness and still choose not to express something. Awareness always comes first. Expression is a choice that follows. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonbuckthorne.com to get your copy.